And we'll try to be obedient unto the Lord. And not keep you any longer or bore you any longer than is necessary. But if God will, we might be here all night. And a day in His courts are better than 1,000.
Amen.
I won't say 10,000 or 100,000 anywhere else.
Amen.
And a wonderful, wonderful time when we spend in the courts of God in fellowship with Him. Solomon's Song and chapter number 7. I want to read one verse tonight. I think it's a verse that has been on our sign out front for a long period of time now. And I certainly am not able to do that verse of Scripture any justice in what I'm preaching tonight. I'll be quite honest. But I'm going to try to do my best to bring the thought and the outline that God's given me and hope that it'll be a blessing to us. In verse number 10, he said, I am my beloved, and His desire is toward me. I am my beloved, and His desire, His want, is toward me. Not somebody else, but me. Not another person, but me. His desire. I am one of a kind.
Amen.
He's mine, I'm His.
Amen.
And His desire is toward me. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, I'm thankful tonight for the singing. Thank You for Your presence and Your help. Thank You, Lord, for the morning hour, the liberty and the help that You gave in preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus. My Father, the morning hour hath departed. And there's another hour upon us, another time, another gathering, another opportunity to preach the Word of God, that it might, Lord, find place in the hearts of people and bring eternal fruit to the Son of God. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help every soul to be attentive tonight, every heart to be open. And I pray that You'd help me tonight to preach the truth of this text, to rightly divide it, and, Lord, to preach it in power, under the unctionizing glorious power of the Spirit of God. I stand this hour in fear and trembling. Lord, I need Your divine help. Help me, I pray, to lean upon Thee. For without Thee I can do nothing. I am nothing. As John the Baptist said, Lord, I must decrease. But Lord, Thou must increase. Help us, I pray tonight, Lord, to stand apart from Thee and give You all the glory. And save every soul that's lost under the sound of my voice, and revive and bless and help the people of God. And Father, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Our Lord has left off His commending or His commendation of the bride. And now, again, she takes up her opportunity to speak in favor of her Lord. This is not in my thoughts, but I want to say this tonight. I'm glad the Lord gives His bride an opportunity to speak.
Amen.
I believe that would be good admonition to us tonight that are married. That it is our responsibility to give to our bride an opportunity to have her say, I have found this all the way through the Song of Solomon. That the groom will speak and in regards to his bride, and then she in return will speak and commend the Lord Jesus for His grace and glory. And then He will again turn and commend her for her beauty and vice versa right on down the line. That is the way a love affair ought to be. That's the way a love affair ought to be. And I want to try to preach a while tonight, if God will help me, on the thought Christ, His church, and their mutual love. Christ and His church and their mutual love. I want to say that that is the only kind of a love that will endure, is a love that is reciprocal. That is, it's mutual. His love for you will never endure if it's one-sided.
Amen.
You're going to have to learn to return that love to the Lord. A one-sided marriage, friend, will never last. I've heard of marriages where the man or the wife, vice versa, may have great love and admiration for their mate, but the mate does not seem to share in the same love for her or him. And you mark her down, that love will not last. That marriage will not last. But the love that I see in our text tonight is a love that is mutual. I am my beloved. And she thought for a moment and said, and his desire is toward me. If I may say this tonight and break this down, she's simply saying that I love him and he also loves me. He loved me and made it possible that I might love him. For God loved us first and made it possible that we might love him. And may I say, my friend, that this is true in the life of every born-again child of God. For it is the first and the great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. Yes. And friend, if there is a mutual love, then that relationship will endure for all time. Yes. Now, the word mutual simply means reciprocal. It means interchanged. It means each acting in return or correspondence to the other. It means given and received. In other words, the love that God has for His church is given. And that love must be received by you and I. Have you ever tried to love anybody, friend, that couldn't be loved? I've been around children before and tried to love them, and they don't seem to really know how to return that love that you're trying to give to them. May I say to you tonight that I'm convinced that God's people fall in the same mold? That so many times that God extends His love to His bride, but we as His bride do not know how to love Him back, and we fail miserable in that mutual love agreement that we ought to have with one another. That's right. It's given and it's received. It's done by each other and to each other. Have you ever kissed that little bride, fellas, when she was a little tiffed and the pucker didn't get puckered back? Or ladies, have you ever kissed that man and the pucker didn't get puckered back? Well, I want to say that a mutual love, my friend, is done by each other and to each other. Our Lord loves us and He loves to kiss us. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you oughtn't to preach about that. The kisses of His mouth are sweeter than wine. And bless your heart, I'm telling you, if He has ever laid a sweet one on your soul, then you ought to know what it's like to return that love to Him. I'm preaching tonight about Christ, His church, and their mutual love for one another. I am my beloved, and His desire is toward me. Now just bear with me. Mutual love is that which is entertained by two persons, each for the other. In mutual love, one does not attempt to take advantage over the other. May I say to you that our Lord Jesus will never try to take advantage of you as being the weaker person. That is right. Amen. And we ought not to ever try to take advantage of Him because of the benefits that He has to give us. I wonder tonight if Jesus is really enough for us, or if we serve Him and love Him for the benefits that He has rather than for what, who, or who He is in Himself. Do you love Him tonight because He loves you? Or do you love Him tonight because you've eaten, my friend, of the bread and the fishes? God, have we ought to love Him for who He is, the Redeemer and the Savior of our never-dying soul. I love Him tonight because He first loved me and then manifested that love on Calvary. He put that love into action and died for me and rose again that I might be justified in the presence of God. You love Him tonight for who He is or love Him for the bread and the fishes? His disciples in John 6 followed Him not because they loved Him, but because they saw the miracle. And they loved the bread and the fish. They loved the benefits rather than loving Him. Would you love Him, my friend, if you left you tonight, sitting in the ashes like He did Job? Could we yet have a mutual love for Him if He treated us tonight like He did the beggar in Luke 16? Or I'll tell you, our love, we talk about loving God as long as everything is going our way. But son, when things begin to happen in an adverse way, many times our love will grow cold toward Him if we're not careful. I thought about Brother Jerry and Miss Norman. I thought, God help them. It'd be awful easy to get bitter toward God and begin to blame God for what's going on when in reality God can take all of their calamities that they're having that He might prove His love for them in their life. And I guarantee you, friend, if they'll serve Him right, they can take those same calamities and prove their love for Him in a difficult hour. I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you only love one another when you're on the mountainside, your love is very weak for your mate.
Amen.
He loves us when we're on the mountain. And He loves us when we're in the valley.
Amen.
Do we love Him the same? Amen. Mutual love does not take advantage of one another. I want to say mutual love gives its best all the time.
Amen.
Christ has given His best to us and He has given it all the time. We in turn are to give our very best to Him 24/7. Amen. I made this statement this morning. I'll make it again. But from the coats of skin in the garden to the cross and to the second coming, our Lord always has given His very best to you and I. And if we love Him like we ought to, we'll always return that by giving our very best to Him. Son, we all try to preach. I appreciate what Brother Jerry said. Preach Brother Hall tonight like he's never preached before. I say amen, hallelujah, and go almost kicked it to you, and I just about let her go. Amen. I want to preach tonight like I've never preached before. Wild, on fire, set on fire by the love of Calvary that is a burning in my soul, that I might magnify Him in your presence, that you in turn may love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Amen. Not spurn that love or shun that love. But when He outstretches His arms toward you, friend, yield yourself to Him and His love and learn to love Him like He loves you. God help us. Always gives its best. I think about that song. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? He's done so very much for me. I wonder if we really have tonight. Have we really sacrificed? Have we given the best? I mean, have we returned that love? Oh my, I'd have to say that I'm guilty of being cold in my heart toward the Lord, withdrawn from Him so many times, failing to respond when He extends His love to me, failing, my friend, to return the very love that He has given me. So many times I'm afraid we're selfish in ourselves and want to take His love without returning that love right back to Him who rightly deserves it. Boy, I'll tell you, we'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we, friend? In our homes, if wives and husbands didn't return that love to one another.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you men something, friend. I'm just telling you, and I'm just telling you this. That, brother, you better learn to love your wife.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You better show her some affection. One-sided love affairs will not last.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you why some of you are colder than crap toward God. He has tried to love you and you've withdrawn yourself, pulled away from Him, backed off from His love, and you're the problem, not Him. Amen. I'm enjoying myself. I don't know whether you are or not. I want to say mutual love. In mutual love, both yield to the desires of the other. I said in mutual love, both yield to the desires of the other. Mutual love is not selfish in any way. But we yield ourselves. It is my earnest desire tonight. She may not believe it, but it's my earnest desire tonight to yield myself and give myself wholly and entirely to my darling wife. Amen. She married me and she deserves the best love that I have, and I want to yield myself to her and that to her desires.
Amen.
In other words, fellas, I'm just not going out and buy a gun and deer hunt without doing a little something for her. I'm going to buy her a doll, baby, every now and then, or a picture. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to spend $12,000 on a bass boat and then gripe at her because she wants a new dress.
Right. Amen.
I'm talking about yielding to the desires of one another.
Yes.
Huh? I've known women have to get down and gargle at their husband's feet, friend, just to get a pair of hose out of it.
Right.
Or a new dress.
Go ahead.
Amen. Come on in the house, youngin. I'm talking about a mutual love that will yield itself to the desires of one another. The Bible tells me in Song of Solomon 6:5, Jesus said, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." He said, "Oh, your love has just overcome me." And in 7:10, He said, "I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me." That's what the bride said. Bless His wonderful name. Nay. Two things, and we're getting ready to go to the house. I've got 2 points, and 2 points only. The position of the church and the passion of Christ. I believe that's what we find here. Now, we're moving slow. We'll just have to be slow. But the position of the church, she said, "I am my beloved." She realized her position in life. That she was the weaker vessel and was under the authority of Him. I am my beloved. Oh, what a position. Somebody said, "Preacher, I wouldn't want, as a woman, I wouldn't want to position myself like that under my husband." You would if you had a husband. Well, I'm telling you, a real husband will never use you as a doormat to the house. Well, Christ never take advantage of us and use us as a doormat. She realized that she was His personal possession. I am my beloved's.
Amen.
And my beloved is mine. What a position to be.
Amen.
Personally owned by Christ.
Yes.
Has it ever occurred to you that the seal of the Holy Spirit is a seal of personal and private ownership?
Yes.
That He said about the church that you're a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, fountain sealed, and something else. Shut up! You're mine. You belong to me. And brother, He's got a right to us. We have been purchased with His own blood. We're not our own. We're His. What a position! I am my beloved. I belong to Him. Son, I'm going to tell you what, if you know tonight that you belong to Jesus, buddy, you can kick up your heels like a young gilded that's been let out of the stall, son, after being cooped up all winter long. Amen. I was out there deer hunting the other day and saw 3 or 4 deer come up on that dam. One of them was a little old bitty, too. Son, he's just a kicking and a jumping. I thought, boy, he's got a lot of vim and vigor about him. I want to say to you, my friend, if you know tonight that you're His, that you belong to Him, that His seal, that the seal of the Holy Ghost is upon you. What a position in life. Sealed under the day of redemption. Personal possession. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 said, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify a God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Brother, I'm telling you, when she said, I am my beloved, she realized her position in Him, that she was His personal property. And any time He wants, He can stick up His sign that says, do not touch, no trespassing, private property, owner God Almighty. I'm glad that Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. There are no trespassers on His ground without, my friend, His permission to do so. Hallelujah. I'm about to get, hey, man, I'm glad, thank God, that the devil, nor sin, nor temptation, nor the world can come into His private ground without His permission. Amen. Devil can't touch you, friend. You're private property. I am my beloved. What a position. I won't say before I go any further, that kind of limits you a little bit. You can't play the field, ladies and gentlemen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Went up there last night, Miss Kelly's in the emergency room. Brother Ricky got up with her and they called her back. She went back in there and I heard a noise going on over and away around that one-eyed devil. And it was like, and I was watching that man, I couldn't see it. I was watching that man, that woman over there. That man said, yeah. Going in a minute, I heard him say, Kentucky 62 and somebody 42. And I thought to myself, there's an old God. There's Ricky's old God. But he has no right to that God. And you have no right to your gods. We have been espoused to one husband. We are personal property of the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt have no other gods before you and I. We are His personal and private possession. I am my beloved. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In your body. Give Him your body. Give Him your body. Give Him your life. Give Him your spirit. For they're His. Everything you have is His. Your mind, body, soul, spirit, possessions, money, health, automobile, belongings, even the handkerchief that I borrowed off of Brother Steve a while ago belongs to our Lord. Are you listening to me? We're His. I am. I am. And by the way, she knew it. There was a mutual understanding. He paid the price. Therefore, I'm His, and thank God, His desire is toward me. Well, I'm going to have to hurry. I want to say, first of all, as His personal possession, friend, and in a mutual love, in our love for Him, that we must be fully surrendered. You don't hear that term much anymore. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Son, I'm telling you, there can be no reservations, nothing tucked away in your heart that you've withheld from Him. All that we have belongs to our Lord. And we ought to throw up the white flag tonight and say, Lord, if you want me in church 7 nights a week, I'll be there. Lord, if you want me in prayer meeting, I'll be there. Lord, if you want me on a foreign mission field, I'll be there. Lord, if you want me to go and preach a gospel, I'll go. Lord, if you want me to teach Sunday school, I'll teach. Lord, if you want me to sing, I'll sing. Lord, I'm fully surrendered under the will of God for my life. Whatever God wants is what I want. I wonder if we are tonight. Or if there's still a little bit of me-ism in there, an I-ism. I know I'm His, but I want to reserve a little patch of ground for myself. What God needs to do is get in and plow up our fallow ground, friend. Amen. Plow up the fallow ground of our hearts. Sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Burn all the bridges behind us. Give ourselves a holy unto God. I said give ourselves holy, and I don't mean H-O-L-Y. I mean W-H-O-L-L-Y. Every bit of us unto Him. Praise God. Amen. I feel like a mean streak setting in now. Fully surrendered. I won't say we ought to be so fully surrendered in our body. Huh? Our body. The body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Fully surrendered in this body of ours. You don't have any right to your body. Amen. You ought to go where God tells your body to go. Come on in the house. It's His. Somebody said, preacher, it's mine. No, it's His. He dwells in there. That body of yours is His house. Tell me a man that will not control his own home. He lives there. He owns your body. He's redeemed it by His own blood. Come on in the house, children. Fully surrender in our body. Brother Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm going to tell you what the service is. When we've done everything that we can do for God, then we'll turn around and look at it and say, Lord, I'm yet an unprofitable servant. Brother Doug got on that servitude this morning, buddy. I'm going to tell you what, if we really want to serve God, if we're real servants, that word servant means a table waiter, waiter on a table. You ever go to a restaurant and run into a waiter or a waitress at the table that's kind of sourpussed, got a bad attitude? Huh? She's a servant, friend. She's waiting on table. That's what we are as God's servants. We're waiting on His table. We'll have that sour attitude. Oh, no. We ought to be easily entreated. Have a sweet personality, a sweet character about us. Come on in the house, children. I don't know how I got off on that. But I'm talking about it's our reasonable service, buddy. When we give everything that we have to God, it's our reasonable service. Some of you yard birds ain't turned your hands around the house of God. You couldn't dynamite you here to do something for church. Come on now. Present your body. Your body, a living sacrifice. Christ sacrificed His body, and it died, but He asked us to live and sacrifice ourselves. Why? Because I am my beloved. He personally owns me. Amen. If He told me to pack up tonight and head for Big Toenail Junction, Montana, I'd be gone in the morning, son. Amen. Are you listening? I read that account that Lieutenant sent me on bomb song Nanleo Valley over and got reminded tonight of a C-130 that went down with 42 boys from A Company, 2nd Battalion, 7th Cav on the 25th of January. I forgot all about it. And it came to my memory. I just thought about it just like it was yesterday that it happened. And I'm going to tell you there for a minute, I said, Lord, I'd go again. I'd go again. And the echo came back, son, I don't want you to go back there. But I want you to be a soldier of the cross. Put on the armor of God and be a soldier of the cross. You belong to me. Get in marching order. Get in file. Get in ranks, son. And go out and do combat against the enemy. That's right, our body. I want to say secondly, we ought to be fully surrendered not only in our body but in our bosom. Somebody said, preacher, you're nuts. Oh, no. She said in Song of Solomon 1:13, she said, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. Amen. That bosom is a place of love and warmth. Amen. Now I'm telling you, when I'm saying fully surrendered in our bosom, fully surrendered in our love and our warmth toward the Lord, never a cold minute. Staying in that Bible, digging in that Bible, staying on our knees, praying and seeking God, letting God warm our heart, praying until we can't pray no more. Then when we can't pray no more, get back down and pray again. And read until it becomes bore and dull and dry. Close her up for about 2 minutes and pray and pick it up and read it again. And beg God to show you Himself. I'm telling you, when I was preparing for this and I thought about His wondrous love. Oh, the wondrous love of the grace of Calvary. That love that was shed abroad in Calvary. I'm telling you, my heart was overwhelmed. My soul was flooded with the joy of heaven when I contemplated the love of the Lord Jesus that He has toward me. And woe is unto me if I do not give that love back to Him. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Our love. I want to say, you remember that old boy that preached down there, Brother Ricky? Remember what he said when he asked Peter? He said, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, feed my sheep, son. Lord said, Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. That man talked about being consumed with His love. Having nothing on our mind. I'm telling you, I'm going to be honest with you, and you don't call me a crazy nut, but I'm just telling you, friend, there's about two people that occupy my mind, and that's her and the Lord. Now, that's where, other than the church, that's where all my love and all my attention go. I love my children. I love my grandchildren, but I'm telling you, my love, my love, son, occupies. Oh, it occupies my mind. I think about my Lord and I think about my wife. And I let that stay in my mind. Oh, because she's mine and I'm hers and he's mine and I'm his. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm consumed with it, son. I'm eat up with it. I tell you, I love that woman over there. I want to be where she's at. That's right. I want to be around her 24 hours a day. Amen. She heard me coming in there toward the bathroom a while ago, or the other day, one. She said, I'm in here, don't come in. She said, I'll be all right. I was looking for her, buddy. I'm consumed with her love. I'm eat up with it. Now, I'm going to say something else. We ought to be consumed with His love. Oh, I'm talking about our time ought to be spent loving Him. Not another. Not a stinking job. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you, if I'd have been Brother Ricky, and I don't know what all he's done since he's been laid off, but I know what would have been good for him to do. Bury his mug in the book. Lay his head in the bosom of Christ. Let Christ lay his head in his bosom and love one another and learn one another, friend, and find a mutual interest and love in one another. Hallelujah. I feel blind as a bat, crazier than a toad frog. I'm just about to get lost in that love. Who wants it tonight? Who needs to be cooled off a little bit? Hallelujah. I want to put it this way. You know, today, men, listen to me. Men and women today switch and swap each other about like swapping socks. Amen. Men love one woman today, and tomorrow they love somebody else. Very few of them ever die with the woman that they first married. I won't say Christ ought to be our first love. Amen. Did he not say in the book of Revelation to that Ephesian church, you've left your first love. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't give a flip what Jack Hiles, Curtis Hudson say. They know better now. That first love is not out beating the bushes, ringing doorbells, and winning souls. That first love is sitting at his feet, son. Amen. And learning to love Him and soaking up His love and becoming acquainted with Christ, that when you get the glory, you'll already know a whole lot about Him.
Amen.
I put it this way. He ought to be your first love and your final love.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
And it ain't no puppy love, son.
Amen.
You girls in here, I'm in love. You young boys, I'm in love with so-and-so. You don't know best about love. You ain't in love with nobody. You're in lust. I won't charge you nothing for that. I'm going to tell you, real love's a first love and a final love, buddy. I'm going to say this to you tonight. I never dated but one woman until I married my wife as far as dating a girl. And that was when I was... Before I ever even went in the military. I'm talking about a young boy. Just a little old girl. Are you listening? First love and final love. I love that woman, son, when I saw her that day.
Amen.
In Austin, Indiana, walking up Man Avenue. I said, boy, gee, oh, golly, gee, that's the girl. That's the girl for me. Old Warren Brock said, I got a date with her on New Year's Eve. I said, you have. We'll find out about that, big boy. And old Brother Hall just swooped in, swept her off her feet, and guess who had the date on New Year's Eve? Woo! 15 days later, me and her tied the knot, and son, we've tied her twice since then.
Amen.
And if God let me live until it's 40 for us and He hadn't come, we're going to tie the knot the fourth time. 4 for 40, hallelujah to God. Because I'm consumed with her love. and I'm consumed with the love of Christ. There's nothing else in my life. He has not told me to love anything but my wife and Him. I love you the best I can, but He ain't told me I got to love you. But He said, husbands, love your wives. And He said, you ought to love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Mutual love. Oh, there's no problem about Him loving us. He died for us, but have we sacrificed for Him? Hallelujah. Or to give Him our bosom. Or to give Him our bodies. I want to say thirdly, we ought to give Him our best. We ought to be fully surrendered in our best. Our very, very best for Jesus. I wonder if I've done my best for Him. It said in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Do you understand what that verse of Scripture is saying? Put your heart, do it heartily. Put your heart into it. Son, I'm telling you, very few things are done. I'm about ready to jump out there and straddle about 10 of you. Very few things today are done heartily. I'm talking about from the heart, out of a heart of love. If you have to be driven, coerced, begged, and pleaded with to do your duties and responsibilities as a child of God, you are far, far from being in love with Him.
Amen.
Paul said, the love of Christ, the love of Christ constraineth us. Because He loved us, we love Him. And I'm going to tell you, serving Him is not a task for me. It's not a chore. Coming to church is not a problem. Coming to church is not a chore. Studying my Bible, reading my Bible is not a chore for me. Being obedient to Him is not a big problem to me, Brother Billy. Preaching ain't a big problem. We'll all get our hearts right, buddy. I can enjoy preaching. Enjoy it right here to the day I die. Hallelujah to God. It's not a big hardship for me to come to the house of God. If it's a hardship for you to come to the house of God and sit on padded seats and listen to preaching, buddy, I'm telling you, your heart, you got real problem. Heartily. We're going there to have marathons. Put our heart into it. Go back here to teach a school. Put your heart in it.
Yes.
You sing a special song. Put your heart in it when you sing in the choir. Put your heart in it when you run that board. Put your heart in it. I'm not going to come out here and gimble around, half-heart around, flip-flop and flop around. Son, I'm going to do my best. If I pick up this pulpit and throw it tonight, I still might kick that bucket any minute now, buddy. I'm telling you. I'd be ashamed if I was us. Professional athletes put their heart more in a sport than we do in our love for Christ.
Amen.
Huh? They practice every day. Runners run every day. Basketball players basket every day. Baseball players base every day. And we drag our legs for Christ. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. I'm here to tell you, if anything you do around here, if you do it for me, buddy, you're doing it for the wrong motive. For Him. I want to please Him. Well, I want to love Him because He loves me. I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's right. I'm going to have to hurry. I'm telling you, we're to be fully surrendered. If we're His, positionally, He possesses us, we ought to be fully surrendered. I want to say we ought to be faithfully standing. I'm trying to hurry, and I'm just going to run through this because I want to get to His passion. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand, withstand. Then I'm telling you, the first thing we're standing is to withstand some things. Put up with some things. Tolerate some things. We live in a society that's intolerant. Can't tolerate nothing. You've got to withstand in order to stand for the glory of God. And having in that evil day and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Faithfully. When you can't stand, stand. When you feel like crumbling, stand. When your legs get weak, pray for strength and stand. He said, your loins girt about with truth. your breastplate of righteousness, feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, taking the sword of the Spirit, and praying always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'm going to tell you why some of you ain't a standing well. You've laid down the armor and come out of the prayer closet. Quit worshiping God, and without worship and prayer, you can't stand. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm worked up a sweat. Huh? I want to say thirdly, it's his personal possession. We ought to be fully surrendered, faithfully standing, and we ought to be fully satisfied.
Amen.
That's right. Praise God. I find no fault in him.
Amen.
I am satisfied. You know why I am? The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
And I shall not want. That simply means, son, I'm satisfied.
Yes.
I got a drink from a well, a deep well, and now I'm well satisfied.
Amen.
I'm not looking for another. I'm not going nowhere, son. I'm satisfied with my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Hallelujah.
And I'll dwell. I always said, He prepareth the table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The position of the church, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. Not only the position of the church, but the passion of Christ. His desire, His wants, His love, His grace is toward me. Son, when you narrow that down to you, and realize that God loved you like you are, the way you are, present tense, He loves you.
Amen.
He knew what you were, He knows what you are, and knows what you shall be, and He still loves you.
Amen.
I can't believe He loves me in spite of what I am, but He does.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. I am my
Amen.
Beloved. His desire is toward me.
Amen.
You understand what that word desire means? It means to stretch out at. It means to long after. He is stretching out. He longs after you and I and stretches. I want to say stretched all the way from glory to Mount Calvary. Stretching out His desire. His desire is toward you and I. He set His heart upon you. He set His affection upon you. He set His love upon you. He stretched out Himself to show you His love. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
He stretched out Himself, and His desire was to deliver my soul. Woo! Miss Sharon, I'm glad I heard you say that. That made my day. Brother Smith, I wrote this down in the book of Psalms 142 and verse 4. Old David was holed up in that old cave running from his enemy Saul. David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. Oh, but look up, brother David, look up, for there is a man that is all man and all God who does care for David's soul. He longs after your soul, friend. He longed and stretched Himself after our soul to deliver us from death, from grave, from hell. From the power of Satan, the power of darkness, from the power of sin. He stretched Himself. His desire is toward you and I. Thank God. Will somebody say amen? Preaching myself to death, and y'all sitting there looking at me like a calf in a new gate.
Yeah,
He sought me when I was condemned.
Right.
Sought me. I said He stretched out and sought me when I was condemned.
Yeah.
But He bought me.
Yeah.
Well, He sought me. And then He bought me on the cross. Bless His wonderful name. He sought me and He bought me. And His desire is toward me. And if He give Himself freely on the cross for you and I, how much more will He give all good things to those that love Him? Bless His wonderful name. I didn't dream God let me preach like His tonight, buddy. And I'm having myself a ball. He sought me and He bought me. Bless His wonderful name. Woo! His desire. When He was on the cross. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Somebody said, oh, He was thinking about the world. He was thinking about me. I'm going to tell you, David said in the Psalms, He thinketh. He thinketh upon me. Can you get a hold of that tonight? He sits, as Isaac sat at the field at eventide and meditated about Rebecca coming in on that camel train. He sits and meditates on you and I, the church of the living God. He waits in glory and thinks. He's excited about us seeing Him. He's looking forward to the rapture of the church. When we lift out of this sin-cursed world and go to glory to be in the presence of God. And He's still stretching out. He's longing after. That word means to overflow and flood over. His love overflows for you and I. Floods over beyond measure. You can't measure it, my friend. You can't comprehend it, but you can have a lot of fun trying. My wife, when we first got married, she said, how much you love me? I was so dumb, I didn't know what to say. I said, honey, if you took every gallon of water and run over Niagara Falls in a day, that wouldn't be enough to tell the love that I have for you. She asked me over this yesterday morning. It was raining. She's sitting there and she said, sweetheart, how much you love me? I said, baby, you took all the water that run over Niagara Falls, and every gallon of it was a gallon of love. It wouldn't be enough to measure the love that I have for you. She said, I've got you beat. I said, you have, huh? She said, if you took every drop of water that fell out of the sky, and it was a drop of love, it wouldn't be enough to measure the love that I have for you. I'm going to tell you, my heart said, I said, jackpot. Kisses and hugs and cookies and milk, boy.
Amen.
Woo! I am my beloved. And His desires toward me. And I'm telling you, what love. What a great love. Mutual! Loving Him and Him loving us! And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about out-loving Him, friend. You'll never love Him more than what He loves you.
Amen.
Heard an old man down at Sammy Ellen's got up one night of preaching, and he said, I like all these young fellas. Said, I appreciate them. Said, they all want to tell about how much that they love God. Said, I'd rather hear them tell about how much He loves them.
Amen.
Said, I got news for you. Most of you don't love Him near as much as you say you do.
Amen.
I thought how wise an old gentleman he was. I don't remember who it was. How wise. For we don't love Him near as much as what we say.
Yeah,
we do. After all that He's done, Miss Angie, we still don't love Him as much as we should love Him.
Yeah,
I am my beloved. You know His desire, His wants is toward me. He gives His life and gives His love and gives His liberty, gives His very soul, He gives His heart. For us.
Amen.
I want to say that His desire is to deliver my soul. His desire is to develop my life.
Amen.
Old Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house. And behold, woo! He wrought a work on the wheel.
Yes.
And the vessel that was made of clay was named Adam, and it was marred in the hand of the potter. But He brought a second Adam, son. That He might make you and I a vessel that pleases Him. His desire is to develop our life. Aren't you glad He didn't throw the clay away? When you was out in sin, lost and undone, He could have took that old hunk of clay that He made you out of and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, brought you into the world out of your mama's womb and cast you into hell. But His desire was toward you. Have you ever thought of the untold millions that's in hell and more than that that's on their way to hell? And out of all those millions, for some reason or another, God has allowed you to be saved. I didn't say He didn't love them, but I'm saying they ain't saved and you are. Now, I can't explain all that. But I'm glad I'm in, son. Huh? He didn't throw the clay away. He made it another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Whatever He's making out of you, friend, it's good to Him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, hey, how were we created? In the image, likeness and the image of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what this new creation's like. It's in the likeness of Christ.
Amen.
And that's a two-way street. He's making it like He likes it. Did you get that now? He's making it the way He likes it.
Amen.
And He likes it to be like Him.
Amen.
Now that ought to make you turn a double backflip to know that someday you're going to be just like Christ. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him,
amen,
we'll be like Him.
Amen.
You'll have hair, Doug.
Thank God.
Y'all won't get upset now if you got a little olive skin, will you? If you're a tad bit brown, you won't get real mad, will you? I've got news for you. He's Jewish. He's a Hebrew.
Yes, sir.
And they're a tad bit olive skinned. He's developing our life. He's making us what He wants us to be. And then His desire is to disciple my heart. You know what a disciple is? It's a learner. Simple as that. A learner. His desire is to teach us that we might learn.
Amen.
Or to learn to follow Him. My sheep hear my voice. Follow me. We are to learn not only to follow, but we are to learn to feed. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? The Lord told Peter, said, you love me. Feed my sheep.
Amen.
I'm trying to do that the best I can, church. I've failed in a miserable way, I know, but I'm trying. I'm trying to give you something that
Amen.
You can eat.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
I'm not going to stand up here and give you a constant diet of television, cigarettes, and pants on. I'm just not, I hit it enough to keep you lined out, and you ought to be spiritual enough. I don't believe most of you in here, now some of you ain't got there yet, but most of you in here don't need that.
Amen.
Most of you in here got more of a hatred for television than I have.
Amen.
Most of you have. Some of you hate it bad.
Amen.
Jerry, this is the one-eyed devil. Cyclops.
Amen.
Learn to feed them. We ought to learn to fear the Lord.
Yes,
you fear your father when you're growing up? Most children today don't fear daddy.
Amen.
Daddy ain't never made a believer out of little Junior.
Amen.
Sad to say. And we ought to learn to fight. Come on, devil. Come on, sin. I know temptation and trials are just around the corner. But I'm ready to fight.
Amen.
For I am a disciple of Christ. Oh, I wish I had Doc Sotler's Bible in here. I've got it written down in one of my Bibles. And he preached at the Southwide Fellowship and talked about how the die of the mole was set. And he ended up and he said, I am a disciple of Christ.
Amen.
I'm paid up, prayed up. No smooth knees and smooth talking. No low life and low living. I am a disciple of Christ.
Amen.
Are you listening? Mutual love. I am my beloved. His desire, His passion, His love is toward me. Would you stand with me, please?